Next, we examine the educational aspect of the Arcosanti workshop.
Many people expect it to be more of an educational institution than it is. Our facilities have not allowed us at this time to put too much emphasis on the teaching.
So the intellectual life or the social life is utterly limited. It's almost non-existent.
An important part of the workshop experience is the weekly meeting Soleri has with all participants.
Let's say somebody has a basic understanding of what Soleri is about, or even if he's read, you know, he's plowed his way through Matter Becoming Spirit or Sitting in the Image of Man. But the point is, if you come here, I mean, like, for example, I read a lot of that stuff, and yet I came here expecting or hoping for a clarification and a real, you know, a real perspective on all of that.
That's what Soleri's meetings are for. He's not going to lecture you. You have to ask the questions. And that's what the whole thing is. If you come here with questions, he'll answer them to the best of his ability. You can even ask him the same question every time, and he'll go into it every meeting. But that's what he comes here for.
Yeah,
but nobody's... You come here, this is not a classroom experience. They also said that in the brochure.
We are interested in augmenting the educational elements that we can offer here. And I think this will begin in 1975 and become much more obvious in 1976.
But still, the accent is on construction, and the learning process has to be found there, fundamentally.
I've been doing precasting, and glazing, and digging in the pit.
Did you have any experience, any construction experience before you came here?
Nope. It was pretty easy working in the pit. All I had to do was pick up a chisel and chisel rocks. Well, the glazing, I just followed Tim around for a while until I caught on to what he was doing. And the same thing with Charlie when I was doing precasting. I was interested in that, so I asked if I could work with him. That's what I really like doing the most.
Carpentry, mostly. Spent a long time building forms and then doing finished carpentry. That's just up on the hill, and then just do all kinds of projects of my own down in camp.
Cosmic Ken.
Silk screening.
What kind of silk screening have you been doing?
Arcosanti t-shirts.
This is what we've been working on for the whole 6 weeks. We poured four 1,250-pound concrete planters, 7 feet 6 by 19 by 17. If we had a little more time, we'd plant them.
That's the chain hoist. Our ton-and-a-half chain hoist that is used to roll over each of these flower pots because we cast them upside down.
Other tasks on the site, such as welding, plumbing, and operating and maintaining the heavy equipment, tends to be done by staff members. John Sandgren, a workshopper, comments on the work scene as a whole.
I think it's great. I have never seen anything like it before. People singing and whistling around the site is just phenomenal.
Perhaps an outstanding example of the will to work is when a semi-trailer load of cement in 90-pound bags arrives on the site. Everyone is marshaled to unload it into the cement shed.
Do you see this kind of thing very often?
No, sir, I sure don't.
What do you think of it?
Well, I think it's a pretty good crew, that's what I think. Sure got a lot of people here.
You do this around other times?
No, this is the first time I've been in here.
Did they warn you?
Yeah. No. They told me that I'd get unloaded pretty fast. They told me it would be by hand. Yeah, they said that they'd get a bunch of people up here and really start going.
We're 12 minutes so far. You gotta wait till the last bag's in here.
You scared me.
Who's got the last bag?
I'll wait to be the last bag.
Okay. Hey, how does it feel?
Come on,
get in the door.
Is there a record pending or is there What sort of prize do I win for being the last bag? Why don't you bite the bag?
Come on, let's get out
of. I think the people's will to work and to finish something that they have pride in is an advantage which you won't get in another construction site, which that's one reason why I'm glad I came. I've learned so much in just doing it, much more than a book could ever tell me how to do.
How do you feel about Paolo's relationship to the construction work?
the fact that he's here quite a bit of the time, at least once a week, is a very good thing, only because at this point in the arcology's growth, it's essential that he be here to sort of oversee what's happening. And unfortunately, many times, even in the real world, as like everyone seems to call it, some architects never even see the buildings that their company has designed, and that isn't architecture to me.
So you feel that it's good that Paolo takes an interest in the smallest detail of the building.
He's a visionary at heart, and these times which he comes up to the site sort of give him some reality to the vision that he's sort of built in his mind. And to see it being put into concrete and steel is a nice thing, and that some maybe will mold some of his ideas as to the difficulty in building with this certain material, and how it will work in the future in other arcologies.
I asked participants how they feel about the idea of arcology.
I think this is a really vital experiment that needs to be done. It's very interesting so far.
All my experiences of living in close quarters with people,
Paul Steinberg,
have been negative ones. I think it could be good. I'm not really sure how it would be.
We cannot, we couldn't survive if people that came here would be mainly skeptical or against the idea. It would be too much. You need some kind of support. I mean, human, individual support, people support.
I think there'd be a remarkable change in second generation people who are born here, born in an arcology.
The work that seems to be going on in the cities today,
Bill Finney,
makes me feel that greed is really the process behind it. The city are really put together by a lot of different people, so it comes out as lots of pieces, and the people seem to get shortchanged in the process, where individuals are making money for themselves rather than making cities for people to live and have good environments in.
What seems to be happening here is the beginning of an organism which comes complete with all of the pieces. It is something that will bring the individuals together in an enlivening process, a very dynamic kind of city.
The idea itself, if it wasn't attractive, you know, I wouldn't be staying here. But although I can't say I really believe in the concept of arcology, it seems the most viable possibility or idea to work towards the future at the moment, so I'm willing to give it a shot.
And what do you mean by you don't believe it?
I'm not so sure that by building a structure as Paolo has designed it, you're necessarily going to produce a city which is free from a lot of the ills that plague other cities. It's an interesting possibility, but I don't believe in it in my gut.
Well, it's going to change people, you know, evolutionarily, you know, over a long period of time, for sure. It's like cities have changed people from cavemen, but sometimes I really wonder, like, if arcologies of a million people are really possible, but then I think, well, maybe not within my lifetime or, you know, 50 lifetimes from now, but I could see it happening eventually.
Since I've only been here 6 weeks, I really don't have a feel of what's going on. I don't think I'm ready yet to criticize Paolo and his work, though I think that at some point in time in the future, I should start thinking about that. I'm not the kind of person to swallow something whole. And I have criticisms that I'm working on, but how valid they are, I don't know. I don't know, it's kind of an experiment on a small scale going on right now. We have a lot of people working here. The effort that's going into building this place is a worthwhile effort. It's something worthwhile for me to do with my energy. And whether or not it's going to work is a fascinating experiment that's going on now. And working here, I'm part of that. It's an interesting idea, and it's certainly better than a lot of ideas that are being tried now, I think.
I think it's probably the most valid thing that we have for city designs today.
I was skeptical. I thought it was the beginning of 1984, and Big Brother is watching. I feel it's different now that I think that the structure and the people that inhabit it will possibly change the path that man is headed for.
Things against human nature.
Mary Coogan. the baker.
As people become more and more dense, they become more and more alienated from each other. And you get things like high crime rates. People stop relating to other people as people and more as objects like furniture because they're so close.
Do you find that to be true here in the work camp
when there are more people here? Yeah, I do find that true. The more people that are here, the more detached I personally become from them. I don't think that much thought has gone into the psychology of it. I think it's something that's expected to happen. I don't think it's just going to happen. I always have a vision of this one scene in Clockwork Orange of a beautiful apartment house with these murals on the walls, and it was just a beautiful building. It was totally trashed. Yeah, it was just the attitude of the people, the alienation of the people. And I don't see any drastic change in human development here as far as ability to relate to people. And I understand that's not supposed to come till the buildings are up, but I believe that furniture doesn't make a lot of difference. Change has to come from within. I think people should recognize the fact that they're going to have to change to live there successfully, and that it's something that they're going to have to do, and it's not something the city's going to do for them.
How would people set about changing?
I think it's a very highly personal thing. I don't think there's any... I don't think the way I change could be the way you change. And I think it's... people have to find out what inside themselves alienates themselves from other people and separates them. And go about changing that so that they can react to people on a level where they even treat a stranger that they don't know in a way that they would like to be treated themselves.
Jeff talks about how he has changed.
Well, trying to be more tolerant of the people that you're living right next to. And look, the feelings are the things that Teilhard says about having a feeling of love for somebody who's, you know, for the other person. I could see that happening a little bit in me from being here. I'd like to see it happening a little bit more and a lot more in everybody here. But I don't know, that's a long time coming, I think.
I did the Eureka 40-day training program in Vermont.
Peter Calloway.
It's kind of a spiritual or mental health, or whatever you call it, program where they bring together various kinds of exercises, meditation, psychotherapeutic, physical, chanting, that sort of thing, to bring you, hopefully, to some state of a higher awareness. And then this is another kind of trip. See, that kind of trip, the guy who started it, Oscar Casas, kind of the idea is you're working on the inside of the person, you're trying to change individuals so that then they will change the world, the external. Then I came through this other kind of trip where Paolo Soleri wants to change the outsides of the exterior world in order to change people. And Casa, who founded Eureka, doesn't know how to design structures and that sort of thing. I think that he has a better developed philosophy, he has a better organization. And although the problem he faces is that when people become more aware, what do they then do, is the question. Now, one of the nice things about Paolo is that he gives us something to do. And the problem is that what he's given us to do, or the organizational form to do it, and what he's given us to do, is not necessarily the form of it going to bring people, either in the process of it or in the completion of it, to a greater well-being. I believe that it has potential there, but it needs a hell of a lot of work.
Larry Bott, visiting Arcosanti to check it out, was so enthusiastic that he signed up for the first workshop of 1975.
It's very exciting to think about making a contribution. I think in terms of my background, which is organizational development, and I see that there is probably a lot of energy that's available, a lot of resources here that are probably not used, and the waste which can't be afforded.
What kind of things would have to be changed for this energy to be used?
I sense management, planning, making sure that interrelated parts connect. For example, has there ever been a real stock taking? I mean, the whole community taking stock of itself and saying, hey, this is where we are in every dimension. And then really examining its resources that maybe are not tapped, and then really seeing where we could be.
Right now the buildings are at a point where they can't go much farther unless we get proper assistance from money sources, research sources, and consultants in various areas.
I see also some sense that there must be some suppression of human needs in terms of the overall goal, and I don't know whether that's even necessary.
The kind of frictions and dissatisfactions socially and spiritually that are here now have to be taken care of.
Robin Elmore.
There is a resistance to matters spiritual and intellectual, or whatever you want to call them, being a part of the community life here. There's no doubt in my mind that there are a lot of people here who have a heavy investment in being able to live a lifestyle where they can do construction work during the day and bullshit and drink beer at night, you know, which they happen to enjoy. It happens, I think, to be less satisfying for me. I don't go with that so much. I spend a lot more time alone, which is perhaps dissatisfying also.
Tony Brown comments.
If all we had to do was to sit here and survive, and like just grow enough food for everybody to eat, and just build enough shelter to shelter the people out here right now, we wouldn't really have any problem. We're trying to build a $45 million building.
$45 million?
Well, that's the estimate using our labor. Using commercial labor is about 113. But this whole thing about community and understanding and construction site has always been one of the big problems. Well, not a big problem, but it's been a problem that's gone through a lot of discussion. There's always the arguments of community versus construction site and the performance before structure. It's always been a point of difference between lots of people. Part of the premise of arcology is that the structure will precede the performance. In other words, once you have the structure there, you become, because of the constraints or the inputs of the building itself, you change the people that live within that structure. Now, it seems to me, if we could get 3,000 people living in tents on this site and produce a change, evolutionary change in that group, then we're wasting our time building the arcology. We might as well pitch 3,000 tents and have a community straight away. So it seems to me that we've got to get the building built before we can start this big experiment.
The building of Arcosanti is a dynamic process. Mistakes are made and learned from. There are disagreements. These are being worked through. Next, Paolo talks about this in the sense that what he refers to as being stuck is the same as having problems.
In order to be able to operate, you are stuck with something. In fact, we are stuck with gravity and friction, so we can do something. We are stuck with this earth, but it's just because we are stuck with it that we can do something. So you always have to get stuck with something in order to be able to transcend this something. You are stuck with your body, and luckily you are stuck with your body because if you didn't have the body to be stuck with, you wouldn't exist. So we should not have this pitfall of saying that we should not be tied to anything, because by tying ourselves to something, we are stuck with it. That's the only way you exist. One must be, and be means being stuck. One of my skepticism about some of the ideas in architectural school is this hatred almost about the objectification of whatever we are thinking of. Sooner or later, you have to objectify. You have to come up with the hardware. Otherwise, you keep planning, you keep designing, you keep thinking, you keep debating, you keep demolishing, you keep, but you don't, you're unstuck.
I asked Soleri whether there was any possibility of his losing control of the project.
It's always a possibility. There are two things which are somehow controlling it. One is that I have veto power for the moment. So that means that legally no one has the authority of kicking me out. Also because for the moment the trustees are myself and my wife, and one reason was to keep it this way was because I want to be sure that I could have that control. And the other one is that even if say a group could kick me out, once I am out, probably this thing, without my approval, this thing might die, unless I still work from outside in trying to help it, because for the moment I think people are coming here fundamentally because I'm the head of the process. Might be an illusion, but I think more or less it's true. At the same time, I think there is enough loyalty. Well, let's call it loyalty to me and the idea among the assistant to believe on my part that this, for the moment, is not a possibility.
It's even if you're no longer here.
Well, if I'm no longer here, as anything else, once once somebody is not there, things happen without this somebody. It's,
do you think,
no matter how much you might try to plan the future, in case or when you are not here, Rindo's plans are in a way illegitimate, or they impose coercions that I don't think are rightly. Anybody, any dead person has the right to impose on a living person. How can I tell you that when I'm dead, you're going to do this instead of that?
Mm-hmm.
I can ask you while I'm alive to put you to do this instead of that, because I can try to explain to you, and I'm part of the process. Evidently, the validity of the idea has to be there without the presence, without my presence. So if my work has any meaning, it has to be self-supporting, self-convincing.
To end the program, Solieri talks about the significance of Arcosanti.
It is the bridging element between what you might call mass energy and what you might call spirit. It's the bridge that keeps being built by life every time it makes a little step.
Arcosanti is located about 60 miles north of Phoenix. The site is 1 mile northeast of Cortez Junction, which is on Interstate 17 between Phoenix and Flagstaff at the Prescott turnoff. Except during winter months, Arcosanti is open to visitors. Tours are given at 11 a.m. and at 3 p.m. Cosanti, which is Solieri's headquarters and the site of his original experimental structures, is located in Scottsdale. Visitors to Cosanti can buy Solieri bells there. For information about Arcosanti workshops, contact Cosanti, which is spelled C-O-S-A-N-T-I. The address is 6433 Doubletree Road, Scottsdale, Arizona, 85253. That is Cosanti, 6433 Doubletree Road, Scottsdale, Arizona, 85253. This program was narrated and produced by Frank Kroger at KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, with technical assistance from Phil Mendelson.